Scorpions Avenue.
You love to eat. We get it. You like food. We know.
Honey, I don't need to say how much I love to eat. I think my appearance speaks for itself. But honey, even today I'm glad to connect with you, Mooney Exchange. Oh my God. So honey, this is masks off day. So we've just gotten the news from the CDC that if you are vaccinated, you can mix and mingle indoors without masks. If you're vaccinated. Now, not on public trains and planes and buses and not in big crowds, but if you're vaccinated. So, you know, I guess that would probably be an encouragement for people to be vaccinated. Isn't that wonderful news, Mooney? We started this podcast in the darkest hour of the pandemic where we didn't know what the hell was going on. And I mean, I will be honest with you. It was a real journey. It was a real journey. Because this is a happy day. The sun's out. It's May. We're not questioning whether we have to wipe down a surface. Like they were saying, it lives on plastic for up to 3 weeks. I said, oh, God, the Kardashians and Amanda Lepore are horrified. They are just, they are in a...
Well, I want to say a few things. Number one, I live in California, so it's always sunny here, and the weather's always nice. So I don't know what that is.
Too bad your personality's not. Ooh.
So we don't have to wear masks outside anymore.
Well, they did say that Mooney Exchange, because of her hideous appearance, she continued with the masks.
Honestly,
That was directly from Joe Biden. That was Joe Biden saying that.
Masks has made cruising a lot easier, because like now I don't care what you look like.
For you, bitch. Okay.
If you have nice eyes and a big dick, like I don't need to know what the rest of it looks like. You know what I mean?
Oh, you met someone with nice eyes and a big dick?
Absolutely.
Because I know you're not talking about you. How are you, honey?
I'm good, bunny. How are you doing? I miss you so much. You left me in L.A.
You left me, and then you come back, and you don't stay. You make me cry. Yay, yay.
I'll be back in New York next week, so maybe you and I can do
it. Oh, no, I'm busy. Sorry. Sorry, girl.
But things are going good. I mean, this new mandate, this is great news for everyone. I mean, and New York is like pretty much after May 30th, New York is going to be, bitch, people a full capacity, normal business hours. Like, shit is really getting back. Like, a year and a half later, they had at first said 2 years, but a year and a half, I think, is that's good work.
It is. And also, let's take a moment to breathe and say maybe, even though we don't, there are still many question marks of the herd immunity, whatever. Can we take a moment to breathe and say, let's hope this progress will stick? You know, I mean, I'm not the most spiritual person, but can we as a people, left or right, male, female, transgendered, old and young, can you just take that moment? And get some hope into the despair, because I need it, girl.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, you look at videos of people in Australia, they have been living their lives for a good 7 months now. They have been in the clear, mask-free, inside people, outside. Everyone has been mask COVID-free in Australia for a while, so they've done the hard work, and we've been, well, a lot of us have been doing the hard work, making it better for everybody. So this is good news. Good news, good news.
Wait a minute. You were doing A, hard work, B, that made everybody feel better? Never, darling. We're not going to start this podcast with a lie. Sorry, guru.
Well, so you know, there is going to be a lot of lies because we're talking about fashion and you have none of it. So I don't know what fucking expertise you're coming from.
She read me. Girl. Now, I want to tell you how I met Billy, who we're interviewing on this podcast, Billy Herb or Billy Beyond, who Billy was Beyond. Modeling for Todd Oldham's collections 11 seasons as a man with high heels, woman's drag, and no boobs. I mean, look, you just, I'll tell you what, you say I don't know fashion? I'll tell you what, I sure could not pull that off. And Billy's now teaching the models to walk in the new Netflix series that's Ryan Murphy and Daniel Minahan directing. So that comes out Friday on Netflix.
How is Ryan
Murphy? About the
Murphy,
gay designer Halston. You said the young people don't know. Halston was a big, big deal for all of us growing up in the boonies. It was like a glimpse into the big city, the nightlife that we weren't able to experience when we were 15, 16. You were seeing
I'm not saying younger kids don't know Halston, but he's definitely not a brand or designer that has aged like Gucci, like Versace, like Dior, like Oscar de la Renta. Like, these are names that are still prominent, where Halston was a big designer, but he's not as prominent as those other ones I just listed.
Yeah, because they remain, well, you know, they listen, these fashion companies are all based on backers. You know, some of the biggest Louis Vuittons will have certain backers, and that's often a factor in
I have a backer coming over later.
Well, all I can say is this. I'm glad for his sake that he's not a fronter. That's all I can say.
I'm excited to talk to Billy. How is Ryan Murphy the queen of everything? How is Ryan creating everything? I feel like everything on Netflix and TV is Ryan Murphy driven for the past 3-4 years.
Clearly, he's ambitious and a hard worker.
For sure.
I wasn't initially interested in his stuff because I did not care for Glee at all, which is putting it mildly.
In fact, Glee.
When I went to get an AIDS test, they had Glee on in the waiting room, and they were singing "Don't Stop Believing," and I was singing "Don't Stop Receiving Infected Semen."
Oh my God!
So that was how I got to. That was the only way I could cope with it. Because then
don't let Boomer Banks hear you, girl. He gonna manifest on this fucking podcast again.
What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? I finally got an AIDS test. Is something wrong with it?
According to Boomer Banks, it is.
Are you serious? That's the only one I've ever had. Why would I pass that one and then have to take it again after all the nasty, no good men I was with for decades as a wild party girl of all kinds?
You know, I was telling someone the other day, I was like, I feel like I just have good luck with the STD gods. I've had so much sex and I have only ever had one STD.
You know what else they say?
STD.
Syphilis rots the brain. That's what we're hearing you say here.
I have had a lot of sex and I've only had one STD in my life.
Uh-huh. Too bad it's herpes, the one that stays. Forever. No, I'm kidding.
You know
baby.
What? Hey, Bunny, have you ever heard this? I have a lot of singer friends that went to like opera singer friends and stuff. They don't suck dick or they don't eat pussy because they're afraid of getting herpes or anything on their because that is the thing. Herpes on your vocal cords will fuck you up for the rest of your life. And
there goes my opera career. Shit.
They don't suck dick or eat pussy because they don't want to get herpes on their cords.
Oh, really? Have you heard?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. You got it, bitch. You definitely got it.
Come on, Shaquita. Well, I'm doing a new night with Shaquita. Let's get it out there because we never talk about our gigs. And now we have a couple. Amanda Lepore is bringing the glamour. Shaquita's going to be the MC.
Oh, my God. We should get Shaquita on this podcast. That'll be a fun one.
Okay. Well, then we'll talk about that. Then it's called Queens of the Yard, and it's the 21st of May at Hudson Yards, that fabled storied venue, it's like a dine and watch me. I don't know what they were thinking with my nasty comedy and trying to eat with some gerbil jokes. Girl, please, we'll see.
Okay, work. Okay, also, I'll message Shaquita. Maybe she can do it next week just in time. Okay. because your show will be in exactly... Well, tomorrow will be a week, so maybe we can, yeah, let's
do
that.
Look at us catching all the hot shows in barely 3 months in business. Right on target with all of the latest releases and information for you, listeners.
Well, listen, today we're going to get right to the interview. We're not going to do stereo calls today because this interview was so juicy and so fun. And I didn't realize how invested I would be in this conversation with Billy Beyond, but it's fierce, it's juicy, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
What, you thought I was going to bring somebody that was tired?
Yeah, like you. I was like, when are you going to bring her? She's going to multiply herself on this fucking podcast, girl.
That's the real you, honey. What's it, Miss Congeniality? Oh, my God. Soak up the real Monet, bitter and rotten. Mm-hmm. Just like ask my friend Tamisha. Honey, I said what I said, Monet.
On that note, let's get to Billy. Goodbye, bitch.
Because Halston, the Netflix series, is coming out this Friday, the same day that Ebony and Irony launches, we are going to catch up with an old friend of mine, Billy Erb, also known as Billy Beyond, and he has coached the runway models on Halston on how to walk and serve and strut Miss Honey. Billy is also a DJ, makeup artist, photographer, a man of many talents, stylist, a man of many talents. So we now welcome Billy Erb. Oh, and a blogger.
That's right. Thank you, Bunny.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Monet. It's so nice to meet you all.
You too.
Well, Bunny, I've known for years, but...
We're happy that you had some time to talk to the lovely gals of Ebony and Irony. Can you guess which one is Ebony?
I think I can.
So tell us about your work on Halston. It's coming out. First of all, I mean, for those who are younger, I don't think everybody knows this, but for me, turning, I guess, 16 in 1978... It was all about Halston. It was, I mean, Halston was what, you know, you were in Ohio. You're a little younger than me, but I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we were looking at the images of Halston the designer and his celebrity clients, Bianca Jagger, Liza Minnelli, in this forbidden world of cocaine and sex and just all of the lore of it. And it's kind of like a magic age that made us want to move to New York City, but it also made us just aware that there was this wild nightclub world that we wanted to be a part of. So tell us about, you know, your early impressions of the very seductive Halston Studio 4 disco days with Grace Jones, Bianca Jagger, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, you know, I was in art school worshiping the image that he was pumping out, the mystique, the glamour. He himself as an icon. There was a period where I wore gray turtlenecks with my hair blown back, pretending to smoke 120s. it was a huge thing. He definitely was... what we were looking at, right, and trying to aspire to it, with the mystique of a big city and the fashion and everything. But, yeah.
Was he known to be out of the closet at that time? Because there weren't a lot of powerful men that weren't out of the closet. I mean, I think it was assumed.
Yeah.
A designer in New York at discos?
I don't think so. I never heard, you know, I did two or three times around in the last 15 years research with the director on Halston for various pitches and we tried to get this going several times, right? So through that, I never really heard him speak about his sexuality or sexuality. I don't think it was a topic. But, I mean,
well,
all he had to do was open his mouth, and it was pretty clear.
Well, as someone, as a queen from a younger generation, yes, I know of the designer Halston, and I've heard it in songs and stuff like that. But as someone who like looks at fashion stuff now, I don't see. I mean, I don't know Halston to be such a huge name as he probably was back then. Like, not like a lot of these other designers have stayed on, you know, like Versace and all these things. And obviously Halston, again, I'm not saying that Halston is not iconic. It was super huge, but I'm just saying now, I don't think it has, it has transcended the time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Ewan McGregor has said, who plays Halston so brilliantly, said, I read in a couple of interviews, he didn't even know who Halston was.
Yeah.
So for sure that has happened. But you know, that's just another generation, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he also had different spurts in his career. He designed Jackie. He was a milliner first who designed Jackie Kennedy's famous pillbox, pink pillbox hat. That did she wear that to the inauguration? Yeah. I mean, that was like a huge fashion moment that kind of like, you know, I mean, iconic American history.
So
as a milliner, he did that. Then he, you know, he was actually doing stuff in the 60s and the 70s. Then he got a contract with Bergdorf to do hats, right? And then his own clothes. Yeah. But I think he had sold his name by actually by 72. He had sold his name because his first imprint was, I mean, his first big moment was hot pants and shirt waist. And that was, we all know hot pants were early 70s, you know, late 60s and early 70s, and the shirt waist dress. But then in the later 70s, the disco fashions, Kiana, the jersey things, he invented the caftan. Thank you. He didn't invent it.
I'm about to say, he invented the caftan?
He popularized it. The caftan's ancient.
It was a
I was like, well, Bunny has definitely made use of that fucking invention, okay? Because this bitch is hard pressed to be in anything form fitting, and we all are very happy about it.
Okay, I don't know if that's fat shaming or old age shaming or whether that is transphobic, but I know it's one of them.
Well, it is true. He did invent that, and not a lot of people realize that he was 8,000 years old, Bunny.
No wonder I identified with him. But so I mean, he had ups and downs, and he was criticized because I think it was 72 that he sold his name to JCPenney's.
Yeah,
the high fashion world turned
on him
big designers had not done lines with like budget stores, and so they thought it cheapened his brand. Then he sold it, and he kept originally kept designing for Halston, but then they totally bought the name, and then it was just perfumes into the 80s. So that's why people don't really have a visual thing unless they were, you know, around back then of Halston. But the thing that I associate with Halston is like the halter tops of Matt Jersey and the more caftan-y stuff that he put on Liza. That's her famous look with the scarf around her neck, the red, you know, that's all Halston.
But as far as what he's known for and what he did, in his own words, he never aspired to be trendy or follow trends and never even used the word trend. He only aspired to make timeless designs. So that's why you see that they're classic and usually very simple.
Well, I say, well, looking at you right now, Mr. Billy, obviously you are a very handsome gentleman.
Oh, thank you.
But just for the kids who are tuning in that may not know, how did you become to be this, the face, the model, all the things? How was that birthed?
Well, you know what? That was requested of me. It was funny because it was not something that I pursued. I was more or less saying yes. When I moved.
So you're saying you're pretty.
When I was young, you know, I had the face of a woman. Let's face it. So I got to New York. My closest friends were photographers. David LaChapelle was the first person to put me in drag.
Oh, work.
Yeah.
Oh, word.
2 weeks after we met, I was in Interview Magazine, and that was everywhere. And then next thing you know, they just keep asking me, please, can you do this? Please, can you do that? Well, Todd Oldham, at that time living in Texas, saw those pictures and said to himself, one day if I ever have a collection, that's my model, right? So then as things go, you're probably 10 years later, was it? No, I guess about 8 years later, Todd comes to New York and we meet, and he realizes that that's the person that he's always wanted to meet, et cetera. And would you do it for me? Sure. You know, I mean, I had been hanging, you know, doing drag for fun at the Pyramid, doing shows. So it was easy, and it was, but it was always something that I would say yes to.
Well, let me set the scene a little bit, because you and I both grew up together at the Pyramid Club. You're younger, I'll give you that. But, you know, so this is way before. Billy was modeling as a woman side by side with Linda Evangelista and the top models for Todd Oldham, who now does home furnishing, but who was a huge designer at that time. And so this was an uptown designer. Honey, this was not a trans thing at all. I mean, no. Terry Toy was a trans model. Tracy Africa was a model. But no, you did not see this. You did not see men. And Billy was flat-chested in high heels with women's hair. And nobody was laughing. And we couldn't believe it, because we were all these boogers from the Pyramid. But Billy had the actual looks and the skill to apply the makeup like that, to where he could sit on a high fashion runway. And then we would get invited to the shows. At one time, Todd did a collection that had all the queens from the Pyramid, Happy Face, Taboo, a dress named after all of us. So this was also when Suzanne Barsh, who you've worked with, were doing parties. So it was this incredible mix of uptown and downtown. And I mean, to be honest with you, I'm still in awe of you and what you did back then. I mean, the beauty is uncontrollable, and it was a moment.
I spooked myself, because now that people are interested, or, you know, they were always interested. At the time, I was turning down Sally Jesse Raphael, Geraldo. Everybody wanted me on there, because when the word was...
Why did you turn it down?
I felt like it was going to limit me in my life, if that's what the label I chose to take, right?
Got it.
And
like, because you thought that these people were making, like, because I've seen the Geraldo shows and the Sally Jesse, where they have drag queens on there, and they play up this whole very, very Jerry Springer, and you didn't want that kind of attention.
I know. And also, when I was the supermodel, I only existed after they put me in the drag, the hair and makeup, on me. Then I was that person, same name, Billy. But after the show, when I took the costume off, I walked out, and they didn't know it was me. So I didn't really exist that way. I did other shows. I did photo shoots all the time and things like that. But there was sort of a mystique about it.
And it was a New York moment, because it was this fusion of high fashion and gritty club like the Pyramid. And there you were. And of course, Todd invited us to the shows. We were there. Well, I can't imagine what we looked like. But I mean, this was like a huge moment to where all the gay people in the fashion world and all of the appreciative, you know, women or whatever. Like, I mean, it was this gender moment. You were in drag with wigs, you know, but flat chested.
I think of it now in retrospect. I remember Todd and I thinking about it and discussing it, like what it was at the time. And to us, it was non-gender. The only reason he wanted me in the clothes was because of the way I looked and my skills as a model. And so there was no, me personally, I never had any kind of gender dysphoria or gender issues or trans, things like that. So to me, it was a role that I was gonna play. And so, I got out there, and my proudest moment was, I did 12 shows, 6 years I did it, and twice a year. And my proudest moment was when the New York Times mentioned me, and it said, Billy, plausibly a woman. And I was like, yes, I did it. They believed it. But seriously, I watched videos from then, and I truly gasp. I say, what is that? I don't know. It's like, for me personally,
you didn't question it. No one questioned it. Let me tell you that. Nobody was laughing.
No, there was a woman on the runway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without tits.
And a really great model that could, you know, scrub the jacket, show the lining, triple back, turn, and
yes, bitch, you better, okay, y'all don't have the video. Y'all can't see this. Billy just gave us a full catwalk moment sitting in his chair, bitch. That is called professional.
Well, I'll tell you about my skills on the runway. At the time, let's see. So I had been working as a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. Successfully for many years, so I knew a lot of the models already, and we were friends. Mm. The first show Naomi did outside of England, I did her makeup in Paris. You know, so we knew each other from 5 or 6 years already. In that,
was she at this point already throwing cell phones, or was that later?
No. She was the sweetest, most wonderful girl you'd ever meet. And at the time when the supermodel phenomenon, when that started, I was already embedded in this Todd Oldham show with them, right? Mm. And so we would literally do a little rehearsal in the back. If you were going to do a double, you would discuss it with them. You know, should we?
What's a double?
A double is where you come out from each side, meet in the middle, pause, turn, and go down together. And you could split the double. One goes halfway, one goes all the way. Then you go back, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Monet thought it was a dildo.
Yeah.
Double-headed.
Anyway, all of these old school runway techniques, we were researching and learning because they were developing into their personalities on the runway. And this is what they were getting paid for. Supermodels had their styles and they could walk in the way that models were walking in the 50s is what we were emulating, right?
Which is also what the voguing houses were emulating with their dramatic poses. The RuPaul song Supermodel came out and was a hit at this era about Linda and Naomi.
Yeah.
And this was a big moment.
Well, as I like to say, Ru wrote a song about it.
You were it. Okay.
Hello.
Girl. No,
I'm kidding. anyway, the skills and the techniques, I would literally practice all the time, you know, in a club, at home, anywhere. Queens were doing runway. We were, you know, in the clubs doing it for hours.
Yes. And one time I went bowling with you. And Billy threw the ball and then did like some ridiculous pop, dip, spin. The bowling ball hit a strike and Billy struck a pose. And we were like, what the fuck is this? Which can only, I mean, maybe it could only be matched by, you told me one time, Connie Fleming, AKA Connie Girl, a trans model who modeled for Mugler, saw you across the platform in the train station and somersaulted across the fucking platform. Over to the other side.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So these are some like.
Well, speaking of Connie Girl, the beautiful Connie Fleming, she is actually featured in Halston in a Studio 54 scene where she plays Potassa. Yes.
The legendary Latina trans.
That's right.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm looking up Connie Girl now because full disclosure, I don't know who Connie Girl is. She is stunning. Oh my God. So she originally wore the cowboy Mugler look.
That's
like
right.
The famous work. And oh my God. Yeah. Kids, y'all have seen this look. It's the red and gold Mugler cowgirl. Look it up right now if you can. She's stunning.
Covered with beads and. Like, I mean, Connie was a performer at the Boy Bar, a drag bar that was in the same neighborhood as the Pyramid Club where Billy and I were hanging out. So there was a lot of cross-pollination. Honey, we all worship Connie from day one.
Listen, I still do. She's one of the most beautiful people and visually stunning and such a talented model. It's insane.
And MC.
MC. Her technique is what got her on the runways of Paris for real. I mean,
she looks incredible.
She's one of the finest ever. So it was so exciting to see her as Potassa, standing next to and hanging out with Salvador Dali, a lookalike. Yeah. There's so much good stuff in this Halston thing. It's really fun.
So with all these supermodels that you were with them at their prime and you learned from and vice versa, spill the tea. Who are the real fucking bitches? Who are the ones that they're on TV acting like they nice and sweet, but they was backstage and they're cunty as fuck?
Well, I'm trying to think, and this is going to sound really corny, but I never witnessed that. I never saw any.
Really?
No, I never saw diva fits. I never saw any of that shit. Naomi, who's famous for that, never. Mm-hmm. But it was a different situation because we all knew each other for so long. You know? That was one thing. But also, the Todd Oldham show was fun. There was champagne. We got paid. Okay, another thing, Todd Oldham, thank you. I was able to live my life in New York City and work 2 days a year by walking down a runway. Because Todd always insisted that Billy get paid exactly the same as whatever the highest paid girl got. So,
wow.
So I was out there turning with Linda and we were both cashing the checks.
Work. Okay, now you don't have to disclose this, but back then, like I'm so, and because some of us don't know, like we have no threshold of what is an average that a top girl would make in a show back then?
Well, it went, as the supermodel phenomenon continued, it went up and up and up. And
then it got stuck.
If you're a new girl, mm-hmm. You're not making what the top girl makes. Plus, it's all negotiated by their reps and everything, so nobody makes the same amount. You gotta understand.
So like $2,000 a show or $2 million a show or $200,000, you know what I'm saying? Like about.
More than $2,000. I would say, if I recall correctly, more like $5,000.
Work.
Ish. It would go up. I mean, it was nuts. There was so much, but then again, as I look back at those supermodel big, where it's like me literally and Cindy Crawford doing a double and mm-hmm. like the insanity, no one else could have done it. We really did have the skills.
Got it.
You know? Yeah.
So there's always been, you know, I met Miss J. Is that the one from
Tucker? Yeah. Yeah.
I met Miss J at the Copacabana where he was wearing like really, you know, he's really tall and thin, wearing chic, you know, dresses, and absolutely fell in love with him. Sweetest guy on earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, always welcoming and always, always fun. But so there is this like elite group of gays who taught these women to work, to walk, because he, you know, and I mean, that's essentially what you're doing in Halston is helping the models, you know, get in touch with these techniques. And so, I mean, there's Miss J, and then there's Willie Ninja was employed. I mean, Miss J lives in Paris still doing that. I mean, they take the beautiful 16-year-olds off the boat from Czechoslovakia, and, you know, he works them out and gets them into shape. So, I mean, is this just from your soaking up your knowledge while doing runway with them, or just you just took to it naturally? Was runway modeling something you were salivating over in Ohio before you came to New York?
No, I didn't even know it existed then. But Willie was a friend of mine. As I was what I like to call a disco model doing runway in the clubs, it was, I was fascinated by it. And there was no internet, so the biggest type of gold you could have was a VHS tape of a Halston show or of Saint Laurent Couture. And, you know, me and Connie, maybe she lived down
there. Come on, Saint Laurent, yes.
She would get, you know, girl, I got a tape, run down the street and watch it, and it would be Magique and all of his famous models. Turning and spins and hands and we would practice all the time.
Who is Magique? Who is Magique?
Magique was a black girl, a model for Saint Laurent. part of
it. Oh, I was okay. I was just going with it. I was like, this probably means like a really fancy term, so I'm just gonna act like I know. I'll go like, oh yeah, girl, magique, honey.
I always think of her, she was one of my favorites. She had very short hair. She was sort of a Roshumba. But not. Anyway, you know, like Munya. She was like Munya. So
I know Munya.
Yeah, so anyway, we would literally seek it out and practice. Yeah. And yeah. Create our own. One of my favorite moments ever was with who I consider to be the best runway model ever, Helena Barquilla, right? She's Spanish.
Girl, I don't know who that is. Helena Barquilla?
Get it, bitch. Put it into YouTube, you'll die. People worship her. She is the finest, in my opinion. And so I'm waiting to go on for Todd Oldham. She's in front of me. She's right before me, and she's on the steps. So she's like 3 feet taller than me. They call her name. She turns around and looks down at me. And she says, you'll never be as good as me. And turns around, walks right out, looks back at me. Now she's on the stage and gives me the eyebrow and takes off.
Work. This reminds me of a similar story between me and Bunny.
And the thing is, it was so hilarious. And she's so sweet and wonderful. But she was absolutely right.
Okay, so now Cece, so here's okay. So obviously that you can learn to model and you can learn these things, but how much of it do you think is just fucking talent? Like either because I always say either you know how to wear clothes or you don't. Like yeah. Some people just do not have taste and you just can't teach taste. How much of that is translated to runway modeling?
It's the same with any type of artistic expression. And you hear it a lot when you go to take lessons to do anything. I can teach you how to do it. But if you don't have the extra sparkle, that like indescribable it factor that a performer has, then you don't have that sparkle because you really do pump it out of you as a performance, right? Because during what the supermodels were doing was the technique was always there to show the clothes correctly. And you always had to ask the designer, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to take it off? Should I do this? How do you want it, right? And then they tell you. But the minute you got out there, it was only you. They didn't. Right. The clothes were not even on you. The people were screaming and gagging. They're like, that's Naomi. Oh my God, look at her, right? And the way she moved was her signature. So we each had our styles. My signature style was skipping. I don't know how it evolved. There was like a double time bounce, right? Bunny, you know that. Like when we're dancing and you do that, like it's like a little bounce in between like that. Real sassy. And that was mine. And one time I was coming down the runway, the house music blasting so loud that your ears are bleeding. And in the front row stands up Polly Mellon on her chair. Billy, skip, Billy. So I just turn, and you can see on the video, and I stop, and I look, and I just start skipping, and she loses her mind. Like, it was
the skip
was, I don't know how it happened, but that was my thing, you know? Everyone had their style, their own particular thing.
So was Magique a model and a runway coach? Because I'm seeing a lot of gay men, you, Willie Ninja, Miss J, perfecting this. Because I wonder if the cuntiness of modeling is really something that comes naturally to women. Because sometimes I think of it as a gay male thing with, you know, I mean, because there's a little bit of shade thrown into the modeling. There's a little bit of attitude. And so what happened after the 90s when there was this supermodel moment and these bold patterns, the Versace that I loved, like clashing patterns and huge gold accessories, we went into this grunge thing, which was to compensate for all this glamour that, you know, you were were part of, and it was like uncombed hair and heroin chic, junkie chic, and like shuffling out onto the runway. And I just never, you know, having actually been to Paris to see a Mugler show and seeing Nadja fucking Auermann, who was one of my favorites, like, no, you wear $50,000 worth of clothes like you've got $50,000 worth of clothes. I don't want to see you wake up from a fucking, you know, a doorstep. I want to see you look like this bracelet is worth a million.
I love a junkie dumpster chic. I think that shit is so fly. I live for it.
Well, it's funny. As far as the styles of runway go, I think it was a backlash because it became so elevated and practically the same as walking in a ball for the House of Saint Laurent. Okay. The shit that was going on in the clubs was literally being translated onto the runway, and I think that was sort of the peak moment for styles. But then the when the pendulum swung the other way, it was the total minimalism. No expression, no smiling, walking, no swishing, hips are not moving, straight out to the end. Don't even turn, but round it off. Just keep walking and then back, right? And that was something that I equate with a lot of Japanese designers, because as far as Paris goes and the big shows go, they were the first ones to do that. Yohji Yamamoto and Comme des Garçons, they were the ones that said, no modeling, just walk. And so that became very popular and a trend that still happens today. Yesterday I was with this model scout, and he showed me this girl. Oh, you know, she's been working on her walk. Will you look at this video? I looked at the video of the girl, and I was like, wow, that's great. You know, I think she'll do really well. She's nothing. She did not do one thing. She just walked like a zombie. And that was it. But that's what they do today, so.
Yeah. So when you see, so what is your opinion on models like, let's say, Kendall Jenner, who, well, and I don't know how to gauge runway walks or like runway models. Like, I don't know what's good, what's bad. Like, obviously we see what's trending now and how they walk, but like models that kind of have this like fast success, and like now you had a lot of Instagram models and stuff. Like, what is your opinion on models like Kendall Jenner and Gigi are different because Bella and the other Hadid sister, they actually did it for years as opposed to Kendall Jenner, who kind of popped on the scene.
Well, I think it takes about 5 minutes to learn the popular technique of the moment. So in that case, they're lucky. But right. What I miss is the individual personalities. Because it's been so homogenized to where,
yeah, for sure,
take the personality out and just put nobody under the clothes. Whereas, right, you know, I feel like that happens.
So you're not today. Getting the Naomis and the Nadjas and the Christies or the Billy Beyond. So so you're saying that modeling today is a little bit more plain and less personality driven and less, you know, technique driven. But so what were you doing on the Halston thing that's about to come out on Netflix? What was your job? Tell us about it.
You have to understand that this Halston story starts in 1968 and goes up into the 80s. So in 1968, his first shows in the first episode, that modeling style was completely different and super old school, holding a number. You know what I'm saying? Like you're
a number.
Yeah. To say what?
So you write down the number. If you're in the audience, you want to buy it, you write down 64 or you write down 69.
Yeah. They would literally carry a little card to designate their outfit number. And it was very business. There were no cameras there shooting. And it was just showing the outfit to the people, you know, 3 feet away and more like demonstrating, right?
And they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have YouTube, so there was no, you had to be there.
Right, so my job was to get that across to the girls. The girls who were cast as models are models. So they're coming into this with zero idea of what it used to be or how to do anything, really. Well, not all of them.
Considering all these Drag Race girls currently, I mean, I don't know, do you watch the show, Billy, at all?
I have seen it. Yeah, I don't watch it every week, but
Yeah. So you have queens like Miss Fame and Violet Chachki and Aquaria who do these, who go through these runway shows and they, but I mean, I think, I mean, I know a lot of them and I think a big part of their hopes and dreams are to like really break into like the supermodel industry, to be these supermodels, to be the Naomis, to be the Tyra Bankses, to be the Linda Evangelista, all those girls. But they don't seem to quite get there. I don't know if it's a cultural thing or it's because of them.
I think what we're talking about is one word, honey. Realness.
Ooh.
Okay?
So you don't have think the they look. Have what it takes?
They don't have the look.
Oh, when
you can look cunt in your costume. But when the designer hands you like a dish rag with three straps, you better be ready. You know,
I feel like to be honest, I feel like these girls be doing it. Like I really look at them. I'm like, oh my God, that looks like a supermodel.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know. But to be a model, you really do have to be the right size.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess,
and look good in any makeup. You have to look good in any makeup and hair, not like you said, not just the ones that you chose. Like, you know, yes, Violet looks very incredible in a corset, but if they want to put her in a boxy jacket, you know, or something that, you know, maybe her, whatever, the designer would say your legs don't look long enough or, you know, whatever. Mm. So it's about how you sell the clothes in addition to the personality. I mean, there have been like the Andre Pelevic, who was such a beautiful man, not in drag like you were, but such a beautiful guy, and then he transitioned. There's been Terry Toy, who we hung out with at the Pyramid, an incredible, high fashion model for Stephen Sprouse and, you know, other people. So, yeah, I mean, I guess
I think just with today's changing views of trans people and gender things, it's probably opened up a lot of opportunity to where maybe you don't have to have realness anymore. Maybe you just are maybe gender fluidity is the story of the designer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
yeah,
when I was doing it, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
The one concept that keeps fashion going is you can't be out. The fear of not being in, right?
Mm. Yeah, and that's why I say trans is in, so make sure that your rights don't go when the trend goes out of style. You know, that's why I'm like, when I see Will Smith's son, you know, putting on a dress in some ad, or, you know, Harry Styles, it's like, when you're all about it, so the fashion person is gonna say, oh no, that was last year. We want men to look like men again.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want Harry Styles in a frilly neck cravat or, you know, high heels or long hair. So the trends turn because you've always got to be on top. And anytime everybody's doing something, you instinctively turn away and, like a bitter, jaded queen, say, no, that's tired now, girl.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So you can charge more the next season.
Yeah.
That's, you're right. That is what fashion is about.
It's pretty, it's a pretty rotten and ugly concept. It is.
I know. I mean, we all sign up for fashion. We all, know what I mean? It's just part of what fashion is. Fashion is, I feel like fashion is always going to be that. And again, who am I, right? I literally made a dress out of sponges on like an international TV show. Like, who am I? But I just think that's always going to be fashion. Fashion is literally, Heidi Klum says it in Project Runway. One day you're in and the next day you're fucking out.
Yeah.
Like, right. Period.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so one thing that's interesting to me, there were models, including Liza Minnelli and Bianca Jagger, that were called the Halstonettes.
Right.
And because of the black model, Pat Cleveland, was Alva Chin,
yes.
Was she Asian?
Yes.
And so there were so long before diversity and inclusivity was, Halston was pumping this, maybe because he was gay behind the scenes, but there was one, and I need to know, because two of the Halstonettes are in this thing. Is the heavy model Pat Ast a Warhol? Is she in Halston, the Netflix series?
Pat Ast was around in Halston's life you know, professionally as well as like during the day for business, she was working at the showroom too. Mm-hmm. So the girl, the girl that plays Pat Ass and Bunny, You Will Die, because she is incredible. Her name is Shauna Hamey. And I'm just telling you, it's over. She is exact.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Because Pat was like, I mean, this was before any of that body positivity stuff. And, you know, Pat was cute, but she was no way a beauty. And she was very big.
Oh, yeah.
With a double chin. And, you know, nothing that you would see anything like that ever on a runway.
Right.
And she was just like this. She was in Warhol movies and was just like a colorful. Well, yeah. You know what she was. She was a fag hag. That's what she was.
Yeah.
Everyone loved her. She sang, you know, but I was about to because I saw something about Liza and I know Pat Ass is not a household name, but she just thrills people from that era who saw her on variety shows.
Yeah. What,
didn't she do something with Donna Summer on Bad Girls?
Maybe.
Like a 70s video where they sang Bad Girls and she was the heavy hooker. I mean, this is just
That was
gay
in,
lore.
Yeah, that was in Liza and... that was part of Liza and Goldie Together Again, their second TV special. Thank you.
Who is Goldie?
Goldie Hawn.
Who's Goldie?
Goldie
Hawn.
Maybe you
can do that.
Try to keep
Bunny. Oh my God. Not Billy, ignore her. Bunny's trying to act like she's a millennial when she's an old hag.
No, I'm not trying to act like, but I wanted to ask you this. This is from a British Vogue that said, in just over two decades, he, Halston, had succeeded in changing the way women felt in clothes and demonstrated the immensely positive influence that a designer can have on our everyday lives. Mm. Rather than a cautionary tale of ambition and excess, here's hoping that Halston, the series, pays dues to the mastery and the daring of one of fashion's greatest visionaries. Do you think it does? You haven't seen all of it, but you've seen the first two episodes.
Well, you know, that was my sentiment exactly through the whole thing. And I can tell you that that's also part of the director's exact sentiment, Dan, knowing him. Mm. It's not exploitative, but having seen only the first two episodes, it's pretty shocking. I've got to tell you that much. And it is a narrative that is not... entirely factual.
Okay.
There's a little bit of changing of the story here and there.
For sure. To make it more interesting for TV.
That's right. But
well, I mean, it was interesting.
Less interesting. I mean,
he was. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
There was cocaine all over the place. I mean, this was Studio 54.
No. You're gonna see.
Wait, is this the Halston story or the Bianca Del Rio story? I'm confused now.
He had a Venezuelan boyfriend named Victor Hugo, who was, I mean, listen, because of
Roy Halon.
We would a very large penis is what he was like a fashion person, but also like
you'll
a very large penis and drug.
So Bianca,
you'll see it. Oh, okay.
You'll see it. No, Bunny, you're gonna see everything. You're gonna see more cigarettes than you've ever seen. You're gonna see pounds of cocaine being inhaled. You're gonna see frontal nudity, rear nudity,
ooh,
full nudity, butt fucking, poppers, all of it.
Okay.
Ooh, I can't wait. Now I'm excited.
No.
I guess I should watch with like a box of Kleenex then.
I'll tell you, I'm no
lotion.
I'm no prude, but I was just like, wow.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, this sounds good. But yet you remember seeing Victor Hugo after Halston had died at Jackie 60, a club in the 90s, 2000s. And I mean, you know, he was nice, but we would all kind of drool over him because, you know, we knew he was handsome and older, but he was hanging huge. And we knew he liked to party. So we were kind of like, maybe, right?
The actor that plays him is named Gianfranco Rodriguez. And he's so great. And he's super cute, really hot, beautiful. It's pretty good. It's perfect, actually, his role.
He stole my look.
He's still here.
What makes this an important story? Is this an important story for everyone, for gays, for fashion people, for historians? What is riveting about Halston?
The series,
the colorful life? Yeah, the celebrities, I mean, or a combination of everything.
In this series, he's portrayed as what Dan called an anti-hero. So you're rooting for him, and but at the same time, you're kind of hating him.
Okay. Is that because he was kind of independent and willful? Because the last tagline of the trailer is, he said, you can have everything and lose it in a second.
Right.
So, I mean, he actually lost it in over decades, but he did lose it. And died of AIDS, which I guess is in there as well. I mean, he was partying before we knew what AIDS was. So
it's like I say, he's an anti-hero, and the overall arc of the series, I might call it a tragedy, because in the end, he's dead and gone, and he was a genius. So it's compelling in that way. Yeah.
I'm very excited to watch it.
Yeah.
So, Billy, before you go, the Halston family, they've come out because they weren't, consulted about the film, and they're saying that it's inaccurate, fictionalized. How do you respond to that?
I didn't date it. I didn't date it.
Do you agree with them?
Well, Billy just said it was somewhat fictionalized.
Yeah, it's a famous person's life. I wouldn't call it fiction. It's not fictionalized. I wouldn't go that far, but it's not a super accurate biopic. It's a drama.
Got it.
In the form of a Ryan Murphy show. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gotcha.
So are you going to go to the premiere and make a stink like Janet Mock?
And
talk about someone who you slept with on the crew? And I hope it's the one that played Victor Hugo.
I wish there was a premiere. There's no premiere. It was all virtual.
Oh, boo.
That's so annoying. Everything is virtual. I'm sorry about
that,
boo.
I know. It sucks. Imagine the party. When you see Studio 54, the art direction, the production design will gag you. The costumes. Geriana San Juan, a genius. You're going to die. Plus, one little thing I have to say before we go. The hair and makeup in this show is genius, and that never happens.
No, it doesn't. And so I want to just say, for people that want to check out Billy's stuff, his blog is billyherb.com.
No, Billy Beyond. Billy Beyond.
Oh, it's Billy Beyond, which is a name given to you by Body Map, who were a fashion designer from London, who we love, the London connection. And but your real name as a photographer, as a DJ, is also Billy Herb, E-R-B. So it's billybeyond.com. Is there an Instagram?
Same, Billy Beyond.
Billy Beyond. And also, for people that that like the internet lore, there is a famous video of me, Billy, sister, RuPaul, called Pickle Surprise.
Hello.
And from way back in the day, a wonderful director named Tom Rubinitz. And I didn't realize until I was looking you up, you actually created Strawberry Shortcut, a similar video with Strawberry, with Tom Rubinitz, before Pickle Surprise.
Yeah,
and that one is online as well, if you want to look up Pickle Surprise and see another side of Billy. Because not only did you do the drag, you did incredible, looks. I mean, you were a makeup artist, so those were some wild times. I didn't even know you did Suzanne Barsha's makeup. I didn't know.
Girl,
I DJed for her a lot.
I did Ivana Trump. Girl,
I didn't know that you started that. I knew you started a club night in LA called Beige.
Yeah.
I had no idea that you had ballet, as in ballet shoes, parking.
Yeah. Thank
with
you.
Eric Conrad.
Thank you.
A man
Pickle
of many
surprise.
Talents. Pickle
parking.
Surprise is what's in your underwear, Monet.
No, Pickle Surprise is my grinder name.
But it's in the back, not the front, okay?
Woo!
Billy, thank you so much for swinging by. This was great. I can't wait to watch it. And thank you for giving us all this inside supermodel tea that I didn't know I needed in my life.
It's my pleasure. It's really fun. And I think the gays are going to love this film.
Thank you, Billy.
Bye. I love
you. Billy.
Bye.
Much love.
Wow. girl. Do you know? Remember that song, Bunny?
Mask Off by Future.
No. Oh my God. Wait. What do you know about Future? You listen to Future? Bitch,
listen. Now what?
What the fuck?
Listen. Now you see it.
Girl, y'all are not. Y'all cannot see the video right now. Bunny is literally Millie walking. She is Millie rocking. She is doing the whoa. Bunny is busting all the TikTok dances. I am. This is impressive, Bunny. I am impressed. Yeah, that was so fun. I'm really now. Okay, full tea. I was not in any ways interested in watching the Halston series. Now I am. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be good. I'm into it.
Yes, and we did speak about Connie Fleming, aka yes. Connie Girl, who modeled for Mugler, was from the boy bar scene, and she is in Halston. The Netflix series as Potassa, who was a famous, gorgeous, chic trans woman. I believe she was Puerto Rican. So of course Connie, who is black, is culturally appropriating, but I'm not going to comment because I'm white. Okay.
And also, if you, I referenced that Connie Fleming, Connie Girl. If you just Google Mugler cowboy, and you'll see it. That is her. She is literally stunning. It is. I say you, Mugler was making drags, honey.
That's costumes.
Costumes down. That's why so many girls reference it.
I saw one of those in Paris.
Did you really in real life?
Oh, yes. I saw the one with Nadja Auermann, Tippi Hedren.
Oh, my God.
A bunch of them. I was over there once. I had a great time.
Wow. What year was that?
500 BC.
Oh, what a lovely trip for your little 60th birthday. That was so nice.
But yeah, look up Connie Girl because she is fabulous. Connie Fleming, and she's an illustrator. She she's actually a performer because she was one of the original boy bar beauties. So when you talk about Cody Ravioli, Princess Deandra, Perfidia, Potassois, Shannon, those are the boy bar girls, and they were dynamite. So we were with the pyramid, everyone else, and Billy was also at the pyramid too. He was, you know, like he would help out, you know, with concepts or whatever with the owner, you know, they'd figure out what they were going to do and make it for set designs. He was a stylist on Sex in the City under Pat Field. And I think there was like a famous black leather rose. He made that. I mean, that became a fashion.
A black leather rose in Sex in the City?
Like a pin or something or a wrist thing. And that they did that and it became like a fashion thing. I mean, he's like he literally like sees something and can make it. Like Cecil Beaton. It's like a real eye. Cecil Beaton's the one that put Audrey Hepburn in those bizarre picture hats with bows and like whatever, girl, in My Fair Lady. If y'all want to look it up, look it up. But I just gave you some good tips for the old shit.
Yeah. And again, look up. I really encourage you guys to look up Billy Beyond. Anytime we have these like really iconic guests who have done so many things in pop culture and in nightlife and in queer history, you have no idea about. Just look him up. Billy, he came on this thing. He is stunning. His face is still like the cheekbones, the face. He looks so good.
Oh, bitch, we all hated her for her beauty. You know that.
Yeah, he's beautiful. You can say he's a beautiful man. Yeah, gorgeous. Uh-huh. Well, this is another great episode, Bunny. I hope that you have a fabulous weekend. I can't wait to bring Shaquita on the podcast so you have two black people that you can...
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Literally an Oreo here. Oh, my God.
Jesus. Yeah, it's a nice Oreo, and you, if you're the white cream, we're definitely double stuffed, bitch.
Oh, okay. I think that sounds inviting. I don't know. I hope not. I think it does. Girl, we'll talk next. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Woohoo!
A podcast network.